speaking on this program is Brother Kevin T.
The first question for our consideration tonight deals with the doctrine of soul sleeping. Oftentimes in the church we don't hear too much about soul sleeping because it's not taught in the Scripture, and hence I do not know of any rational member of the church who would assert such. But it is indeed a denominational doctrine that is supported by some who also misrepresent Scripture in order for them to be able to hold to the things that they believe about soul sleeping. What is soul sleeping? It is also known as conditional immortality, and it is taught primarily by those of the Jehovah's Witness faith and then also in amongst those who are Seventh-day Adventists. Whenever you think with regard to the two and their beliefs, there are some similarities, but also there are some stark differences. When you think with regard to the Jehovah's Witness and soul sleeping, they believe literally in what would be better classified as soul annihilation. The term annihilation means that it is done away with. It no longer exists. And therefore, what they look at is whenever a person dies from this world, they're no longer here, also their soul goes into a state of non-existence. And what they believe then is that whenever Jesus returns, and their belief in regard to the return of Jesus also is much different than what is taught in the Bible, and I won't go into all of that, but they do believe that whenever Jesus returns is that the soul will be reincarnated, that it will be reproduced by God. On the other hand, when we think with regard to the Seventh-day Adventist and their doctrine of soul sleeping, they assert that in death, the person is not conscious of anything. They have no knowledge at all. Is that the soul itself is in a state of sleep. According to what they say, the soul becomes completely inert unto the time of the bodily resurrection. In other words, it has no motion, it has no thought during the time in which it, after the period of death. During this period, the soul only resides in the memory of God. It sounds similar to what you have heard me say about the Jehovah's Witness, yet it is a little bit different as you get into the definition of those matters. I want to identify some things in regard to how they come up with, even from a biblical standpoint, passages that they misrepresent in order for them to say that they can believe in, from a biblical standpoint, this doctrine of soul sleeping. Primarily comes from the book of Ecclesiastes chapter 9 and verse 5. In the context there, if you will recall, Solomon is the one who is speaking. And Solomon is reflecting, at least in part, and probably for the most part, over his life. And what he has concluded is that as he examines his life, is that in reality he had lived most of his life contrary to the will of God. And therefore, he says, "Vanity of vanity, says the preacher, for everything is vain under the sun." That is presented in Ecclesiastes chapter 1, verses 1 and following. That theme continues on continually. In fact, in Ecclesiastes chapter 9 and verse 3, he says, "This is an evil in all that is done under the sun." Now that is imperative for us to understand the contextual significance there, is that he is speaking with reference to under the sun. Note what is said then in verse 5. "For the living know that they will die." You and I are living under the sun. We're living this side of eternity in this world. And all of us, if we're honest with ourselves, based out of what God teaches us, as well as what we see to be true in life, we know that we're not going to live forever. We have that knowledge because of where we are under the sun. We know that it's taking place. "But the dead know nothing, and they have no more reward, for the memory of them is forgotten." What's he say? The dead know nothing. And therefore, the Jehovah Witness as well as the Seventh-day Adventists say that those who are in the eternal realm, in order for them not to know anything, they must be in a state where that their soul is sleeping. Note also what he says here, though. They have no more reward. Doesn't God promise a reward for those who have passed on and have lived their life for Him? Absolutely. And they are also quick to understand that certainly God has a reward, yet at the same time, if you're taking this passage and applying it to those who are in the eternal realm, having absolutely no knowledge at all in that state of existence, soul sleeping, then would you not also have to apply this directly to say that there's no reward for them? In the context, he goes on to identify, the memory of them is forgotten. And that's so true, is it not? Whenever we pass on from this life, the generation that follows after us probably will remember us. And likely for a few generations after that, we shall be remembered. Yet at the same time, if we've not served as president, or if we've not left our mark in a national way or world sense, probably we're going to be forgotten for the most part under the sun. You say, Kevin, you keep saying under the sun. And friends, I believe that that's what's going on here contextually, is that these people have no knowledge of the things that are going on under the sun. Does that not also harmonize with what Jesus teaches us in Luke chapter 16, verses 19 through verse 31, in the presentation of what the Lord identifies concerning the Hadean realm with the rich man and Lazarus? Remember, in that context, the rich man wanted so much for Lazarus to go back and to speak to his people. And in that context, it would appear as if he has a knowledge of the state of which they were in prior to this, but at the same time, at that given time, he has no knowledge of what's going on under the sun. Not only would he not have knowledge of that, he certainly remembers the state that they were left in, but he has no knowledge of things under the sun at that given time. And then in like figure, we would conclude is that Lazarus and those in Abraham's bosom would have no knowledge of things under the sun. In fact, in this, I believe that the Bible harmonizes all the way through, and there are no contradictions. And if indeed they are right in this doctrine of soul sleeping, then we have contradictions in Scripture, and that cannot be. In fact, according to what we find, as you would consider 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verses 13 through verse 18, and I've already mentioned Luke 16, 19 through 32, and then also, though, Revelation chapter 6, verses 9 and verse 10, friends, we would have a contradiction if indeed what they are saying is true. Why would I say that? Because according to what we find in the context of these passages in that last point on the slide presentation is that those who have already passed on, they are awake. Also, they are aware of their surroundings, and they are awaiting the return of our Lord. Take into consideration what is stated very explicitly in Revelation chapter 6, verses 9 and verse 10. In regard to the revelation that is given to John, it is identified is that those who have passed on, eventually they cry out, asking, Master, how long will you allow these things to go on? If they are sleeping, if their soul is in a state of no consciousness, it would not be able to cry out. But the Lord makes it very clear is that these people in the Hadean realm, in paradise, are very much aware of their surroundings. The Bible makes it clear, without any question, that whenever we pass on into the eternal realm, is that we will have a knowledge, we will be awake, and we will await the return of our Lord. So soul sleeping is not a sound or valid doctrine from a biblical standpoint.